Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. So we speak into this atmosphere and we say, let there be light. This month we're talking about the power of words and using Proverbs 18:21 as our main text. Scripture says, in the King James, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let me show it to you in two or three other translations, and this is actually verse 20 and 21. In King James, verse 20 says, a man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, meaning basically your life is what you say. It's a metaphorical way of saying what you have is a result of your words. For the most part, I'm not saying you've created everything in your life, but you've created a lot of it. And it's a sobering's not the word. It's a very maturing thing to accept that. Do you know what I mean? Like to accept, oh, I'm creating my reality. Because we've all gone through things that we're like, I don't want to be held responsible for that. And if you hear, when I say this, if you hear this as blame, you're not hearing what I'm talking about. I'm never talking about blame or shame. I don't even relate to blame or shame. I'm talking about setting us all free to understand God has given us creative ability, and that if we want things to change, we have to change them. I could tell when I kept complaining last week about, you know, looks like Skip's not going to get this thing done, and I've wasted all this time, and I'm ready to go. And studio space is too expensive. Like, can you believe I was talking like that? And I thought, I've got to change this because, you know, it's see and say. You see your reality, you keep saying it, and you keep perpetuating. It's a cycle. Once I changed it, because I thought, how can I change this? I thought, I'm going to text him and ask him, should we just go get the material and build it ourselves, which is what we did, which was fine. But I don't have Ken here every day now, so I have to, and I also don't want to, you know, Saturday's the one bit of downtime he has. I don't want to just put him to work, but on this time I'm like, you know, you got to help me. I can go to Home Depot and buy it and help you carry it to the truck, but I don't know how to put it together. And I stood there and hauled stuff and did stuff, but I don't know what I'm talking about. I could hear when he and Skip were talking about what to buy and 2x4s and everything. I thought, y'all are like speaking a whole nother language. But the point is just tweaking it a little bit about what I said about it automatically changed the reality. It didn't make it perfect. It just started changing things. Like the universe starts responding immediately. Something as simple as saying, you know, I think I'm feeling better today. Just something as simple as that. It doesn't mean you have a complete clean bill of health. It just means you start feeling better. I mean, it's just that incremental. And I was thinking about this. I remember going to visit a friend of mine who had had a minister friend of mine who had had a heart attack. And I was really surprised because he seemed like he was in really good health. And this is back when, remember they used to have those Hickory House restaurants here? Well, he and his wife used to go every day and they get biscuits and gravy. And he said, the doctor told me it was years of biscuits and gravy that finally resulted in my heart attack. And I thought, well, that's interesting that it's like a cumulative effect. It's like you don't just eat that one time and start having heart trouble. It's like years of certain behavior that eventually catches up with you. And I thought, that's the way words are. It's not like you just say something and automatically everything changes. It's like every day, it's little by little, it's line upon line, precept upon precept. It's what you're saying on a regular basis every day. It's like little by little changing things, creating reality, reshaping your reality. So here in the message, verse 20 and 21, he says this, words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. And then he says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. This is very similar to what James said. You know, they call James the Proverbs of the New Testament. You know, over there when he says, out of the same fountain flows fresh water and bitter. And he said, these things ought not to be. And so you have to decide. Not, I don't believe in denial. I really don't think faith is denial. I do believe in calling those things which are not as though they are. Those are two different things. And this is what I was going to tell you about Jared. You know how last week I was talking about how words affect us, and if you get a negative word and you don't do something with it, it can set up something in your body. It doesn't happen immediately, but remember we talked about Job saying, how long will you cut me in or break me in pieces with words, and talking about how we've all been dismembered by different words. And it was interesting because somebody had posted something on Facebook yesterday that I could tell, I'm pretty sure it was aimed at me, and it was kind of ugly. And the only reason I say this is because this person frequently aims things at me on Facebook, and so, like, it is what it is. And it actually didn't bother me. I just thought it was kind of funny because it was over something silly like my, well, I guess you saw it too. It was about my movie reviews. I didn't go to film school. What I do is go to a lot of movies, and when I post something about them, people will always say, oh, I was waiting to know what you thought about it, because usually I've had scores of people tell me, I go see a movie because you say it's good, and if you say it's not good, I don't go see it. And they just do. I never told anybody to say that. They just did. But I just thought it was funny. I thought, oh, here we go. Thanks, bud. Appreciate that. Well, and it is just my opinion. So I never said it wasn't. So, but this is funny because I was thinking about it yesterday. I thought that at a certain point in your life, you've heard so much stuff that it really doesn't get to you. So yesterday, while Jared was there working for me, he had parked across the street, and he came in. He said, oh, man, he said, my van just got booted. And he said, I've never been booted before. What do you do? And I said, you've never been booted? I've been booted so many times. These boots are made for walking. I mean, I just called the guy, like, hey, how you doing? I just got my card out ready. And I thought, you know what? He's here working for me. I'm going to go cover that for him because he parked here to help me out. So I walked across the street. I said, Jared, let me get this because you're here helping me. So I'm going to get it. So the guy came and he's writing the thing. I mean, I know the drill. So he's writing the thing. And I said, this must be a really hard job. Because everybody's mad. You know, when you get booted, everybody's mad. And everybody's yelling at you. I said, do you just get, like, cussed out all the time? And he's writing. He said, yeah. I said, does it bother you? And he went, you know, it did at first. Then after a while, he said, I've heard everything. So it's just like, I'm just doing my job. They're just going on, and I'm writing the ticket. And I thought, I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, it's like, no weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises against me will be shown to be in the wrong, because I've heard everything. You know what I mean? Like, when people, I don't get hate mail now like I used to, but when, you know, for a while I did after I came out, and some of the hate letters I would get, I would want to correct them and send them back to the person and say, this is nothing compared to some other stuff I've gotten. You need to, if you really want to get, let me tell you, I could do a course, teach a course in hate mail that will leave a mark. that you will carry with you for a while. And after a while, you've heard everything so much that you're like, whatevs. And I don't know, it was just kind of this moment when I looked at his face, and you could tell he wasn't bitter or anything. He said, yeah, it did at first, but it doesn't now. Just doing my job. And I thought, that's the way you have to be about life. You just have to say, I'm just doing my job, and when people don't like the way I'm doing it, get in line. You know, there's lots of people that don't like, so whatever. And so I wanted to submit that to you as a balance to what I said last week, because I do believe that words can hurt you deeply. I definitely do. But I also, I always want to teach you with balance. I also can tell you that the shield of faith quenches every fiery dart. And so I don't want to ever become insensitive to words. I mean, if somebody brings up a valid point of something that I need to change, I want my heart to be open enough that I think, all right, that person's got a good point. You know, that is something I need to pay attention to. But I also want to know when somebody just says something that's nonsense, I can just say, I don't care. I mean, I've heard so much worse. That's, you know, that's really like, it's like swatting a gnat. And so I just wanted to sort of recalibrate that and give you the other side to what I said last week. Let me show you here in the New Living Translation. It says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So basically, for the most part, you're having what you say all the time. For good or for bad. Like, let me tell you about this concept of calling those things what you're not as though they are. It works in the positive and the negative. I remember some of you read the classic of Charles Capps years ago, the Tongue of Creative Force. And he told a story about a woman that he knew that she and her husband were planning a cruise. And she kept saying for months, she says, I don't know why we're planning this cruise, because knowing us, the day of, every one of those kids are going to get sick. That's just the way it works. They all get sick. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And the thing is, kids do get sick. I'm not saying that kids don't get sick. That's bogus to say that they don't. What you have to do when you make a plan ahead of time is you have to say, I believe everything's going to work out. And if it doesn't, then something even better will work out. But I'm not setting myself up to think that my plans are always going to fail. For the most part, you know, when Jesus said, let us cross to the other side of the lake, that's a very powerful statement. He said, let's just cross over. That's, and I've taught this several times, but the whole thing about Peter walking on the water, the fact is Jesus had said, we're going to cross the other side of the lake no matter what. That's why it was bogus for Peter to look at the waves, because you can't walk on water with or without waves. The waves had nothing to do with it. The waves are just a distraction. So if you say, let's pray we have good weather. No, just declare that you're going to do it, and for the most part, the weather's going to submit to what you have determined. I see it happen all the time. And I don't like, you know, for a while I got kind of known as the weather guy, you know, because I'd had some good testimonies of praying over the weather, and it got to be too much pressure. Like every time somebody was doing a barbecue or a wedding or something, they were going, Bishop, you got to pray. It was like, don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. That's too much. I don't want to be responsible for everybody's outdoor event. What I would rather say is, let's just do it. Let's cross the other side of the lake. And yeah, it'd be nice if the weather's nice, but if it's not, we're not determined by the weather. The weather obeys us. We're the head and not the tail. That's such a, oh, I love that, Deuteronomy 20. We're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That means you don't react to everything. Everything reacts to you. Let me show it to you in the Amplified, same two verses. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequences of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. Let me tell you this bit of good news, and this is something that I walk in and have walked in recently. Even if you've been saying some negative stuff, I'm telling you, a little bit of positive is like lighting a candle in a dark room. There's not enough square footage of darkness to overtake that little bit of light. So, again, if I may refer to me complaining about getting this studio open, I kind of got into a negative zone about it. But as soon as I changed it, as soon as I repented, it's amazing how it's like it takes on a snowball effect. I mean, so many good things happened Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. It's like, it just gets better and better. It just gets better and better. You know, when people say, when it rains, it pours, they say it like it's a negative thing. It doesn't have to be. If you need a lot of rain, you could say, praise God, when it rains, it pours. In other words, there's more where that came from. And again, I've said this to you for years. Allow me to say it again. Your life is being run by your list. And if you've got a list of, oh my God, now let me tell you the latest thing that's happened. Now let me tell you this. Then that list is determined. The list becomes attractive. Don't you know people like that? Like every time you talk to them, they've got another thing. Well, how's your mama? Oh, it's so much, everything's so much worse. And now it's not just my mama. It's my aunt and my kid and my brother, my sister, you know. And again, I'm not saying you shouldn't ask about people's family members. We've got sickness in our family that we're having to deal with. But I'm talking about for you. You need to talk up some good news. That's why earlier this week, this was a small thing, but I know so much about how you got to change things. I thought, I just got to start small. What can I be happy about? Because when I posted this earlier in the week, I was having a bad day. But Monday, I picked the girls up from school, and I was going to take them to see Beauty and the Beast. So I was going to take them to Atlantic Station. I'd already bought the tickets on Fandango. I didn't realize that Atlantic Station has this one theater that's like their VIP theater where they serve food and drinks, and you have to be 21 to go there. So I had bought those tickets, and the manager said, well, you can't take them in. You've got to go to another showing. It's not like a bad, it's just, it's for adults is all, because they serve alcohol in there. And I said, oh, man. I said, when's the next showing? He said, well, the next showing is at 4:15, but it's IMAX 3D. Which is a good bit more, which is fine. I mean, it's, you know, I was going to pay for it no matter what. It's just that he said, but you know what? I'm just going to give it to you at the price that you bought them for. Because I got out my credit card. I said, how much more do I owe? He said, no, you know. He said, you didn't know. So it's fine. I'm just going to, so you don't have to pay any extra. And I thought, you know, that's not a cure for cancer. But that was a little something, something. And I love that he said, so you don't have to pay any extra. A few hours later, I go in Starbucks, order my same iced coffee that I order every day. And the guy said, you know what? We're out of iced coffee, but we've got cold brew. I said, what's that? He said, well, it's the same thing. It just costs more. And it's a different process. And I said, fine, I get that. He said, but you know what? Because you wanted iced coffee, I'll just give it to you at the regular price, so you have to pay any extra. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I've heard this twice in a few hours. Now, again, it's not raising the dead, but that's twice in a few hours without me asking or even having a bad attitude. It wasn't like I was like, what? I wasn't even asking for anything. I just said, okay, give me the other. And I thought, you know what? Those are two small things. And right now, I'm kind of just looking for some light somewhere. And okay, if that's where the light is, then let me accentuate that. You know, I want to tell everybody on social media, because I've done it myself. I know what it's like to put something on and then take it off. Because life and death is in your words, not just the words you speak, it's the words you type, it's the words you post. Whatever reality you put out there is going, it's like virtual reality. It's going to become the reality. If you're going to tell people about your need, then tell them this is what I'm praying for. This is what I'm believing. Or get people to agree with you. Because I know what it's like to, you know, somebody hurt my feelings and I write something about it. And then people are like, you hang in there, Bishop. I'm like, oh, God, I'm deleting this. I'm not that guy. Ugh. I'm not, ew. And believe me, I have plenty of times where I could post something. And sometimes I do. Sometimes I'll put it on there and I'll go, I'm going to give myself about 30 minutes of self-pity and then I'm back to happy guy. Do you just post the happy stuff? Yeah. Do you filter your pictures and make them look as good as possible? Yeah. Duh. It's so stupid when people go, I think Ken enhances the color on this picture. It's like, yeah, it's an app on the phone. That's what it's for. That's not like you didn't just, you know, the FBI didn't find out, I believe these pictures are color enhanced. Yeah, that's the way we see the world. You better believe in it. All right, let me show you this. I think this is an interesting quote by this gentleman. He says, by choosing your thoughts and by selecting which emotional currents you will release and which you will reinforce, you determine the quality of your light. You determine the effects that you will have upon others and the nature of the experiences of your life. I think this is it. I've never really heard that phrase before, you determine the quality of your light. That's interesting because, you know, we always talk about, you know, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. But lights, there's 60 watts, there's 100 watt, there's LED. A light's not just a light. There's any number of kind of light that you can put out. Even yesterday, I bought a light fixture for my little studio, and we were looking for bulbs, and Ken said, well, these kind are... they're called daylight because they recreate daylight. I think that's the ones we got. And I think that's so interesting that they figured out ways to create light that creates certain ambiance. And when he says there, you determine the quality of your light, I thought, wow, I want my light to be dazzling. You know what I mean? I really want to be bright wherever I go. And I believe for the most part, that is the reality. I remember... when people used to sign my yearbooks when I was in high school, this is what I would hear. Hey, I was Jimmy in high school. Hey, Jimmy, I don't know you that well, but when you walk in the homeroom, I just feel better. I just feel like when you walk in, it just feels like the room brightens up. I can't think of a better thing for somebody to tell you. Like, I sure wouldn't want to hear, everything's good until you walk in that room, and then it's like, dear God. I know. I mean, I even have, sometimes people will call me and say, hey, I just wanted to hear your voice. I understand that. I know what it's like to somebody say, you've got some light that I need to tap into. I don't always feel it. But for the most part, it is there. And we all determine the quality of our light. Let me show you, this is an interesting, this lady is transitioned now, but she's this Scottish lady who had this place in Scotland that was called the Vatican of the New Age. But I was reading some of her stuff, and it's very interesting, very good. But this is what she says. Cease trying to work everything out with your minds. It will get you nowhere. Live by intuition and inspiration, and let your whole life be revelation. Man, I love the energy on that word. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan for things. You know, the scripture says, consider the ant. I'm not saying you just go, la, la, la. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I don't believe in that. I don't even believe in the everything happens for a reason thing. Something about that doesn't resonate with me. I don't like that. Because there's some things that happen when children are molested or people are killed. I don't like that. I mean, there was a shooting in a nightclub last night somewhere, and I don't believe everything happens for a reason. I believe all things can work together for good, but that's a different thing. I believe that if you don't determine what you want to happen, then everything around you is going to fill in the blanks for you. You have to determine. It may sound superficial to you, but I'm telling you, happiness is a decision. It really is. Health is a decision. Yeah, I love that. I know it's controversial with some people, but I love that movie, The Help. I think it's really good. Anytime it's on TV, I end up watching it again. Octavia Spencer is just, she is a pleasure to watch. And so is Viola Davis. I love anything they're in. And some people didn't like it. It was about them playing maids, but I think it's a great movie. And I love that scene at the end when Allison Janney is playing the mother who's dying, and she tells Hilly to go to New York and follow her dream. And she says, Mother, I've got to stay here. And she goes, Hilly, I have decided not to die. I'm like, yeah, that. Now, you could say, well, they didn't call the elders of the church to pray the prayer of faith. Let me tell you something. If you haven't made the decision to live, all the elders in the world, they can grease you down to your oily. It's not going to. It's not going to save your life. The life and death is in the power of your words. And you have to decide, well, I'm just deciding I'm going to live. I got to tell you, I'm really proud of my mom since this diagnosis she got, I'm amazed at how proactive she's been about it. Like, she's exercising and you know, she has a tendency to self-diagnose and go to health food stores. But I'm like, hey, you know what? If you think something's going to make you better. And she told me that, she's not really going to beat this thing. I'm not going to tell her you can't. I'm like, you know what? Fine. You know, I'm like really happy to see that she's pushing back and fighting. And because there's just, it really comes down to, Healy, I have decided not to die. Isn't that just an awesome?
But I really loved before that when she told that girl to tell off her voice.
Healy, what is that thing on your lip? I can tell people in the front row have seen this movie also. You is kind. You is smart. You is important. Anyway, let me just show you this one scripture. I'm gonna be out a little early today because we got to go paint. This is Matthew 12. And let me tell you what I love about this. You know, I grew up hearing about a judgment day, you know, and I used to read the chick track that showed us all, we'll all stand before, you know, and they're going to show a movie of our life, which scared the heck out of me. Let me tell you what I believe judgment day is. Judgment day is every day of your life. Every day of your life, you are being judged for what you, I mean, it's life and death and the power of the tongue. I don't believe it's this day where everybody who's ever lived has got to go stand before God and give an account for every word they've ever said. If that were true, then what's the point of forgiveness then? If you believe in a literal God that forgives people, then why would people have to give an account for every... I mean, can you imagine? You have given an account. On June 23rd, these are the four-letter words you said in traffic. I mean, it's ridiculous. But then Jesus said... Some of y'all would be stuck for a light year. but he said, Jesus did say, you will have to give an account for every idle word that you spoke in the day of judgment. What's he talking about? Let me show you here in I think this is the Amplified. It says, a good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give account for every idle, inoperative, or non-working word they speak. For by your word you will be justified and acquitted, and by your word you will be condemned and sentenced. I don't think that's some day off in the future. I think that, and I love this, that the Amplified shows you idle means inoperative. It's like, you know, if you're watching your weight, have you ever watched your weight and you said, you know what, I could eat that, but if I'm going to eat calories, I'm going to save it for something chocolate. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not just going to eat unless I really, really want. There's some things that are worth it. We got through working yesterday, and we're both watching it, and we both lost a little bit of weight. But Ken said, you know, I really want ice cream. I said, you know where we ought to go? We met this guy. We sat at his table at a Japanese restaurant, this Paolo. They has Paolo's Gelato. He's this really cool Italian guy. We had all these connections with him. His kids were fans of Jared's band. But he took us over to his place. It's gelato. It's ice cream, but it's Italian ice cream that's kind of processed a little differently. It's like fancy ice cream. It's just got a different, it has less air in it. It's just good. My mouth is filled up with water thinking about it. Chocolate and pistachio Jesus. But I thought, all right, you know, and we didn't have dinner last night. I said, is this going to be enough? No, this is fine. And we didn't eat it. We had a little watermelon last night. But that was worth it. I said, we've worked hard today. We're eating gelato. We're getting two scoops, baby. And I'm taking a picture of it, and I'm putting it on Facebook because this is a good thing. And when you talk up the good things, you attract more good things. Now, if somebody had said, eat this Hostess Twinkie, I'd be like, nah, not today. There's some days I would eat one, but not today because that's not worth it. Gelato, I'll take a low calories on that. That's, it's worth it, Miss Seeley. Look at God. Let me tell you something. You can't eat Krispy Kremes every day, but when you're in the mood for them, when you're in the mood for them, they are medicinal. That's why I don't eat them all the time. I save them. And, you know, I'm also the same way about Crystal hamburgers. I don't eat them all the time, but there's a time when I'm like, I need some Crystal hamburgers. And I don't eat them regularly, but I – and you know kind of – like I said, you can't eat all the time, but you know when I need this for myself right now, and I'm – all things are in temperance, but right now – y'all are like, tell me something I don't know. I had some this morning. But it's interesting. He says every inoperative word. In other words, just empty. Like, I really do love to. Some people think I'm not communicable. I love to talk. I just don't like to talk about stuff that's not going to make things better. Even if I'm doing it. I just don't want to be involved in a conversation that's just not going anywhere. Now, if I'm joking around with somebody and we're laughing, I consider that positive. Yeah, if I'm making you laugh, I can't tell you how many times I've heard this over the years. Somebody write me a letter, email. Bishop, it's not what you said in your sermon. It was the energy that you had when you talked about things. And I walked in there thinking it was the end of the world. And it was something about... after we laughed at some of your crazy things that happened or whatever, I just thought, you know what? Everything's going to be fine. Then fine. Mission accomplished. I'd just as soon hear that than somebody say, oh, it was your wonderful theology broken down with your exegesis that made a difference. I think it's the energy that's on word. The way you hermeneutically exegeted the lexicon of both the Hebrew and the Greek, I felt that it spoke deeply in a didactic way that... Oh, I just want to tell you about eating gelato. What? And I'm telling you, I guarantee you, sometime this afternoon, somebody will send me a text or something going, you have no idea what a confirmation that was, specifically because it was just... I mean, it happens all the time. So, give an account for your words by how you speak. And if you're in a, look, if you're in a life and death situation, I posted this yesterday because one of my friends had posted about this woman who, in her later years, was diagnosed with cancer, and she opted out of chemo and used the money she would spend to do a world tour, and I think she finally transitioned at 91. I'm not saying that's what everybody has to do. If chemo is right for you, then do it. I'm not telling you not to do it. I know people that have done it. I know people that are doing it right now. That is a very personal choice, and if that's what you have chosen, then say that you're going to have the best chemotherapy you've ever had, that's ever been offered. If you've decided to go with a system, then believe for the best. And say, all right, well, if this is what we're doing, if we're going to do the chemo or the radiation, whatever, then we're going to believe it's going to work. And then or believe that I'm not going to get sick, or believe that, you know, whatever. If you're not going to do it, then go with that. Just pick a reality, and whatever the reality is, speak the best over it. Because, look, I'm not in denial of the real things of life. You know, people have been through divorces. They've been through all kind of things. There's stuff we've all dealt with. You... make the best of it that you can, not denying your reality. Like, well, this is the reality that I have, so this is what I'm going to speak toward the end result. Whatever it is, it's going to be great. This is what you have to determine. Paul said he didn't get it just by revelation. He said, I had to learn how to be abased. I had to learn how to abound. He said, I had to learn that I could do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He said, I learned when I was full or hungry, there was a right way to be in any of those situations. If I was without, then I was like, well, I believe we'll get through this, and It'll, you know, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. If I was on top of things, then I celebrated it without rubbing it in people's face. You know, there's just, there's a balance and a harmony and a decorum that you have to learn. You have to learn to live your life with finesse. I've been through, you know, I've lived my life, especially in the last 7, 8, 9 years, I've lived my life in a very public way. And, you know, everybody has seen me go through on the public stage very difficult things. And I had to determine, well, let me, if this is what's going to happen, let me show you this is how you do this. This is how you go through things. This is how you deal with public ridicule, whatever. Let me show you by example that I have learned how to do those things. And that's why, you know, somehow I got through it, and today I'm clothed and in my right mind, and I didn't just, you know, I didn't walk into a church one day and gun everybody down. I didn't just want to say, I've had it with all, I mean, I never did that. You know what I mean? I showed up for work, you know, I've never even taken a Sunday off, you know, unless I was speaking somewhere. And so, I mean, I know how to do my job and to show people by example. This is, somebody says, where are you meeting now? At the hippest theater in the Atlanta area, in the coolest part of the best city in the world. That's where. Yeah. But that's honestly what I feel about it. And whatever your current reality is, you got to love it. You got to embrace it. You got to speak the best over it. I got to tell you, you know, where we live, it's probably too small for two people to live there. But I just love where I live. It's like, I just love it. I love my view. I love that it's small enough that I there's no way I can collect a lot of clutter. I just can't because there's no place to put it. And I like that. Not that I'm a hoarder, but I mean, I like it because it's manageable. I mean, it's just whatever you want to do with your world is fine. But for me, like one day I was driving around, I thought, why do we have so much free time on a Saturday? Oh, I don't have any grass to mow. I don't, you know what I mean? It's like I have nothing to maintain. That's why we drove to Chattanooga today. We got nothing else to do. You know, everybody else, if you got grass, you got to mow it or you got to pay somebody to mow. Fine if that's what you want. I already had grass. What? Minimalist. I get it. I'm telling you, I love my life. Once in a while, I think, maybe should we buy a house at some point. I already had a big house. I like being streamlined. I like, you know, I really do. If you, whatever you want, it's fine for you. I celebrate. I love where my parents live, and my dad takes a lot of pride in his yard. That's very good for him. I don't want to do it. You should do what you want to do. And whatever it is, be the happiest about it. If you live in the country, then you ought to say, living in the country is where it's at. When that Doe and Buck ran in front of Ken's car a while back, and even one of his neighbors is in the hospital right now because the cows were in the road out where he lives. And they ran into it. I said, that's why people all live in the city where it's safe. I'm telling you. We may have traffic and panhandlers, but ain't nobody hitting deers and cow. Or deer and cows. I said that wrong. It's dangerous out there in the country. But if that's where you live, then you should love it and embrace it and talk it up. All right, let's finish up with this. It's a great quote by this guy. I've quoted him before. It says, your destiny is to fulfill those things upon which you focus most intently. So choose to keep your focus on that which is truly magnificent, beautiful, uplifting, and joyful. And I love this line. Your life is always moving toward something. Man, I know that's true. And if you see that it's moving toward the negative, you're the only one that can navigate that ship. If you, you know, if you're caught up in the current and Niagara Falls is down about half a mile, you've got to turn that thing around. Calling for help may not help you. You've got to figure out a way. I got to get out of this boat or turn this boat around or something, because this current is catching me and it's going to take me down. There's just, man, I just read that over and over again. Your life is always moving towards something. This would be a great time for an altar call if I said, friend, think about every head bowed, every eye closed. Where is your life moving toward? You. Come on. Y'all cannot ever sit on this front row again. Y'all are banished from the front row. Softly and tender. All right, there's way too many. It's a weird combination of Baptists and Pentecostals in here. It's very, very dangerous. All right, let's all stand. Did you get anything out of this month? I know you did. I think I saw Chelsea come in. She found her product, so if you want to get that, it's really, really good stuff. You'll like it. Let's run this, and then I'll speak a blessing over you, and then we'll go have the best day ever.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy.
Easy peasy.
Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab. Then my online donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you're making a check, make it to JESM. That's Jim Ross Willie Ministries, and Danny will receive that. Thank you for doing that, bud. If you have cash, just pay it forward. God bless somebody. If you want to use it, buy some of her product, maybe even give her a little extra. I'm going to take care of her, but if you want to add to that, that's always a blessing. Or go just put that cash out there and move it around. It's sowing and reaping. You have to get it in movement. So I bless the words of your mouth. I bless your tongue. I bless the thoughts that you have before you say something. Life is in the power of your tongue. I speak wellness and wholeness and strength and vigor and vitality and energy and youthfulness and just good things coming to you. And as you celebrate the little things, they attract even the bigger things, and that you're blessed when you come in and when you go out in the city and in the country, the basket and in the store. And you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless you. Love you so much. I'll see you next Sunday.